And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 129 of Fans of Power. I'm the man behind the mask, Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's going on, T-Rex?
Not a whole lot, man. Just ready to dig down deep in some good media Master of the Universe discussion here this evening.
No, definitely, because there's a lot of good topics. We'll talk about some current things going on. And, of course, we'll be doing our stuff from the past and other stuff. But first, let me say hello to Zentron in the chat room, Zen Brown in the chat room, Adam Gabbard. Thank you all for joining us. And, Tyler, if you don't mind, I want to say something. And it's a slight little rant. And hello, Ruth Gilbert and Eric Amon. It's a little rant, but it's because it was something that was kind of addressed towards me. And
really?
I usually don't like saying anything like this, but it was kind of annoying. It's in regards to, as we know, that Fisto comic,
I knew it had to be over.
Yes, and like I said, I just want to get this out of the way, because when somebody will attack my character in a way, it's like, you know, that's a little too much. You can love a picture, you can hate a picture, but when you start doing attacks, that's when it's crossing the line. And as you know, there's that Fisto, you know, panel that somebody edited to have it say something different. The original panel from the comic, Clash of Arms, Fisto said, "I fought hard, He-Man, but I could not defeat them all." And somebody, just to have fun, said, "I fisted hard, He-Man, but I could not fist them all." Now, I'm not exaggerating, as you know, because you've seen my wall, and you know I'm just not making this stuff up. Between messages, the tags, posting on my walls, emails, that picture has popped up to me over 200 times. And it's always somebody saying, "Joe, did Fisto really say that? Oh my God, he said that. Oh, that was terrible for a mini comic." And then there's those that say, "Hey, Joe, this is funny." But the majority of people thought this was real. So I thought, you know what, how about I kind of like fix the situation in a way to where I'll put a photo of the original comic with the edited one with saying altered dialogue, put it on my wall, make a post on, you know, make a post. And then possibly if somebody sees my post and then they're in another group and they see the altered one, they won't have the need to say, "Hey, I'm going to tag Joe." And then I won't have to reply back. So it's like saving both of us time, and along with maybe somebody saying, "Hey, I know what the real thing is," and maybe even educating people who think it could be real. Now, I made a post about it, and I said, "Yeah, he says some kind of like perverted dialogue, blah blah blah," and you know, like I'm going on, you know, on and on, and then talking about how here's the real stuff. Then all of a sudden, you get somebody that wants their 15 minutes of fame, and there's this guy that isn't on my friends list. He had no friends in common, didn't see him in any of the other He-Man groups. He found the need to jump on my wall and attack me, and he said, "I'm gay," and he says, "and in the gay community," he says, "Joe, that's a common practice," what Fisto was saying. And
oh
he says,
my
and,
God.
Yes.
Christ,
man. That's why I was like, wait, what? So he said he was gay. And in the gay community, he says, "that's a common practice." And by me saying that was perverted, he said, "that just shows, Joe, that you're homophobic." I was like, what the hell? What just happened? I mean, what are you talking about? In no point did I say anything about, you know, this is gay, what Fisto said. Never said nothing about homophobia, anything. I was like, where did you get this? But he's saying, "oh, because you said, you know, perverted. So that's meaning you're homophobic." I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, when I'm saying perverted, that's in the context of saying inappropriate, like, you know, in a comic that's geared towards kids. I was letting everybody know this was not said. It never was said. Fisto could have been there with Tila, tons of women, and said fisted, and I'm still going to, of course, say perverted. So it's not like it's towards guys, towards girls. That use in that term is something that did not exist in this comic. That's all I was trying to point out. And when that guy did that to me, I mean, I, of course, a bunch of the friends on, you know, Facebook, they're all coming to my defense, but I was like, I'm just removing that guy's comment. I'm blocking him, but I was like, how wrong is that for somebody to do? Just you go on some random person's wall you don't know and you attack them and their character when you know nothing about them. When all I'm trying to do was enlighten people, here's the true thing that was being said. And in nowhere was I saying anything about anything gay, homophobic, anything like that. I'm saying it's inappropriate, a perverted term, basically, that was edited in the comic, which shouldn't be there for kids. So I had to say that because I hate it when somebody's attacking my character. I was like, wow, what a thank you I get for trying to help people and maybe inform people who didn't know something.
Obviously that jerk off doesn't listen to the podcast, because if he did, we mentioned it multiple times, we don't like these characters being portrayed. I mean, look, let's make one thing perfectly clear. When these people are taking these beloved characters and portraying them in a, we'll just be, lack of a better phrase, homosexual manner, they're not doing it to promote gay pride and support for the gay community. They're doing it to be funny. They're not doing it to, say, look, my brother's gay, my sister's gay, my father's gay, or my mother, whatever, or I have a good friend that's gay. They're doing it to make fun of He-Man. So anybody that thinks that what Joe did, or when we say we don't like these characters being portrayed in a certain way, we're not doing it to condemn the gay community. I have gay relatives. I work with gay people. I've never had an issue with that lifestyle. Hell, I think it's great that the gay community is alive and well, and that people can live happy lives the way they want to, in the way that they should. But, look, what some idiot decided to do by taking liberties with a children's comic book and throw in certain phrases that were inappropriate because he thought it was funny is not knocking the gay community. I mean, well, it's like for me or Joe or anybody else to take offense with that. We're doing it because you're taking liberties and making fun of this property. You're not doing anything to support the gay community. So the guy that came after you and did that clearly is just one of those, like you said, he's looking for any opportunity to come out and say, oh, well, I am, you're attacking my rights, and so on and so forth. Like, no, he's not, moron. It's just, we're all adults here, and we're not here to, I mean, it shouldn't even be a discussion, but it's not fair to what happened to Joe, and it's not fair to fans who stumbled across that nonsense. And I'm sorry, I pity the people who thought it was real, as if, like, you could not possibly believe this was packed in with a Fisto or Clawful or Jitsu action figure, So that, I think you need to, take a step back and think about how you process things when you see stuff like that. But still, it's not fair, it's not right, and I'm glad some people came to your defense about that, because I saw you post it. I didn't read all the comments, and I saw some people just thought, oh, I thought it was funny. I know some people were busting your balls about it, like just saying, I'm sure some of them were just messing with you because you were trying to make a point. And then some probably really thought it was hilarious, and humor is subjective. If you think that kind of humor is funny, fine, more power to you. But that's not why Joe is doing it, and that's not, why we disapprove of that. It's, hell.
No, I mean, no, I appreciate you. Like I said, I appreciate you saying all. It's just, I just did that because, like I said, when my character's being attacked, I mean, that's something I don't like. I can't stand for, and I just wanted to say that. Just wanted to mention what I said, what I posted, and everybody understood what I meant. The context. Yes,
I mean, I'm certain we have a lot of listeners that are in the gay community, and I think that's the first time either one of us have encountered a negative situation in regarding that. So I think it's safe to say that listeners who are in the lesbian gay community don't have a problem with what we say on this podcast. It's just, and this is always such a touchy subject, and really this has, this topic has nothing to do with talking about a classic 80s toy line.
Right. I was just, defending the dialogue of the true comic, but no, man, I appreciate you saying that. So I just had to get that out there because I just hate that when people put words in my mouth or twist words around. So I had to get that out, and I tried to keep calm, and I think I was pretty calm about that. I didn't lose it. So
we just need to hammer home that this idiot who thought it was the right thing to do, especially if you weren't friends with him, you had no connected friends with him on social media, somehow just thought, I'm going to be a social justice warrior and attack this guy, because every children's book should, if they want to put that, that should be in every Barnes and Noble in America.
Those people, it's annoying when somebody, you get the trolls, as I call them, like to come around, cause trouble. But
to our credit, you and I don't have too many trolls on this podcast, if any.
No, I think the only time is when we had somebody trying to sell something, like, hey, come to this website or something, in the chat room.
I don't even consider that. But
exactly. So
you know, it's a testament to the product we put on this podcast. Product is like I'm so professional here, or the content on the podcast here. You know, we don't upset many people, if at all. People seem pretty genuine. They may not agree with some of our viewpoints and things, but that's perfectly fine. We want that to be the.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Anything we discuss, something we like in the Masters, Princess of Power, New Adventures, you know, stories, and they don't like you said, it's good. It's just fun, healthy conversation. We never attack each other back and forth in the chat room here and there. So that is what's good. And also, JSP and Grimbot have also joined us. So thank you both for joining us. But there, that's out of the way. And then I'm now a quick thing that we do not have to dwell on. But as you've seen, a complete unknown website called Hashtag or whatever the hell it was, they posted that here's some new Masters of the Universe movie news, which they're taking news from old script ideas, actually other things that you're just scrambling around in their brains too, just combining it. And they're saying, here's the new official news, which this website is called Hashtag. Nobody's ever heard of it. Then other websites started sharing their news. I was like, people, relax. I was like, this site, you could tell it's fake, it's old stuff, and they don't know what they're doing. And sure enough, one of the Knee brothers came out and said, no, this is false. I mean, this is not happening. So if you guys were worked up thinking what that stuff you read about He-Man and Skeletor being brothers and all this stuff from old stuff along with crazy combined other things, no, it's not happening. That was all just a fake post. It was a fake website article.
So, yeah, those posts were popping up, and I just happened to see, I forgot what it was, but all I saw was Adam and Skeletor were brothers. Click. I kept going. I'm like, no, yeah, sure, whatever. And just, went and looked up the latest, NBA post or something like that. I disregarded it about as fast as I could fart, whatever. Gone, it's done. It's, I don't believe it for a second, so.
Yeah, it was definitely quick and forget. You could tell it was fake, but some people might have bought into it, but now that they posted
that. Well, given that there's been so many scripts written for this movie, it's not surprising that, along with that ridiculous one that was written by Justin Marks back in the early or mid-2000s, and this one, and God knows what else, whatever the hell.
Was that the one where Skeletor was going to be wearing a mask or something, or what?
He's wearing a mask and wants the people to love him and all this other horse crap, and just, oh God, man, it's, I swear to God, why is it so hard for this property to find someone with competence and not their head stuck up their own ass? And it just feels like, oh, I got to come here and flip flop everything, turn this inside out and make it as if like it's such a complicated idea to put on the silver screen. Man. Yeah,
well, at least now they know, yes, that wasn't true. So that's out of the way. Now, as for any recent stuff of things being at the stores, I think for fans who like collecting those little Mega Construct figures or whatever, Faker's been released. So keep an eye out for that little Faker Mega Constructs, because that'll be cool to add to the other ones. Because I think what we have, Tila, Beastman, He-Man, and Skeletor. I think those are the four so far, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now you can get Faker, but I didn't know, was there any other recent stuff or anything you could think of? Or what?
I think since we had Larry on last week, we didn't get to touch on that the Super 7 Vintage 2-packs all sold out. People were, pissed off about that, and,
But at least to let them know they're coming back single card. That 2-pack thing was, it was a special thing that did get a lot of people upset, saying they should have made more, because some people, the He-Man Skeletor one just sold out quickly, and now you go to eBay, and it's like they're five times the amount. But they're still going to be released single carded. But that was just one special, well, it was a special one-time thing for the 2-packs of He-Man, Skeletor, and She-Ra, and
Hordak. Like, nothing to get upset about, and of course, it's like pissing in the wind, it's pointless to tell the fans that, hey, relax, there's more coming, or this is not the only release of it. God, everybody's just ready to pull out the pitchforks and the torches and start flipping cars over, and you've got, fires and dumpsters starting, and
some were concerned. You're right. I did see some people concerned because they thought that was it. They said, oh my God, I missed my chance. I'm never getting the figures. They didn't know that there's going to be single cards. Some still wanted the 2-packs, but a lot of people you've seen on Facebook, they were thinking that was their only chance. So at least they were a little more set at ease knowing, well, you're still going to be able to get the figures and they'll be, individually carded.
Yes.
So and also, with, Well, one quick thing. I was going to say one quick thing. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Zen Brown also mentioned, I forgot about this, that they showed a pic of the Wind Raider for, I think, Mega Constructs. Did you see that somewhere? Yeah, so that'd be pretty cool, that vehicle. Yeah. So thanks for that, Zen Brown. And now I'll pass it back to you, Tyler.
I was going to say that, Stridor is still available. I still haven't got mine yet, but I'm going to. I think he'll be available through, I think, mid-May. I think, like, May 22nd, I think, somewhere in there.
I'm always trying to remember if it's 22nd or if it was like the 13th or 15th. It's terrible I forget the date. While you talk, I'll try to find that real
Well,
quick.
I know, and speaking of next Sunday, which is Sunday, May 13th, I believe.
Yes.
May 13th. Yes, I believe that is the last day to get your PowerCon exclusives of Jitsu, Spikor, and the Montork Driel 2-pack. Once the date is over, there won't be any further orders or an extension, so we have officially a week. If you haven't bought the one you want, the two you want, or all three, you've got a week to get the funds together and put in your purchase for the PowerCon exclusives. Next week. That's it. I went in and got mine a couple weeks ago, so I'm good to go on that one. And I
And who
encourage.
doesn't want more Trollins? Like you said, we've been screaming for more
Yeah,
Trollins, forever.
kind of surprised, like people, and I don't know. I have no. I'm just assuming, if I don't pay attention to people that said I've got it, I've got it, I got it. But just as a reminder, we wanted the Trons, we've got them, and Spikor and Jitsu look phenomenal. So. If you want them, you're on the fence, you got a week to decide if you're going to get them, but we encourage you to pick them up because I'll be reviewing them on the podcast when they do come in. I can't wait to put them on the shelf. I'm going to put Montork and Drea on my character shelf, not the Filmation shelf, because they need to go on the same shelf as Orko.
Yeah, I
So
gotcha.
I'm looking forward to discussing that. So remember, you've got 1 week from today. May 13th is the last day to put in your orders for the PowerCon exclusive. I think I've got that date correct.
Well, and just to let you know, Stridor, it's May 15th is the last time to pre-order
Okay,
for
so
Stridor.
I've got just over a week to get that ordered.
Yes, but yeah, I'll let you double check if you're just double checking
Yeah, I'm
online.
just gonna double check on the I apologize here, people.
Oh, you're fine. And, well, while you're doing that, I mean, I guess I can explain the positive thing for this kind of exclusive. Because at one time, remember when exclusives would be available for, like, let's say, San Diego Comic-Con or other conventions? The only way you could get them, like, sometimes they would sell, like, whatever stock they had also on their website, or you're stuck with getting them on eBay if you did not go to the convention. So you're pretty much left with, damn, how can I get these? So it's not like these are hard to get. It's you're pre-ordering them, you had a giant window, and it's just like when you would get a subscription for any of the other figures. So you're not going to get these. If you pre-order, you're going to get them because they're made to order, correct? As long as you do it, you're going to get the
Yes.
figures, won't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see this as one of those scenarios where in 6 months from now, Super 7 is going to show up for Black Friday or their Cyber Monday and Chopper, Spikor, and Montork Driel are popping up. That will not be the case. And it is May Sunday. May 13th is the last day. So, yes, these are made to order. And you don't have to get all three. If you're thinking it's that whole scenario, you got to sub up and you have to buy all three. No, you can buy just one. If you just want Chopper, you can do that. You want just Spikor, you can do that. If you want the two pack with Drea and Montork, you can do that. If you just want two, you can do that. So take comfort in that you don't have to buy all three because it's money's tight for all of us. I'm not going to pull a Joe Amato here and tell everybody to go to McDonald's.
We won't do that story again. I
We'll
won't
not
do
do that one again.
that
But I understand that. But you know what? If you can make it happen and treat yourself to a PowerCon exclusive, two or three, but make it happen because we only got a week left before the window closes.
And also do it before you know what happens, because sometimes you might be on the fence. And when you're on the fence and you miss out, and it does happen a lot. Sometimes people just don't know. That's why we're saying it now. It's like some people don't know. And like, let's say when the pre-orders end and they start popping up on eBay and early pre-sales, and somebody's like, oh man, I wish I could have got them. Man, I messed up. And now it's, like I said earlier, 3 to 5 times the amount. You don't want to end up doing that. If you want to save yourself, that trouble of paying 3 to 5 times the amount on secondary market and eBay, Yeah, get them, because as long as you put in the pre-order, you got those suckers.
Let me bring up the website real quick so I can tell people exactly where to go if they're still, you know, if these are people who are out of the loop on all this. If you go to thepowercon.com, that will provide you with the links on the website. Thepowercon.com, that's where you would go to buy your ticket slash purchase of the PowerCon exclusives. So
Perfect. So yeah, definitely do it while
one
you
week.
can. Yeah, 1 week for
Yeah,
that,
just
and
over a week to get Stridor.
yeah, a week for the PowerCon ones, and a week and 2 days for Stridor. So,
Yes.
well, there's that. Now, like I said, we have a couple of topics we're gonna discuss. One, we'll be talking about our top five mini comics, but I thought maybe we'll start off with the other one that I'll let you get into, Skeletor's Revenge. Why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Let's see here. Making sure I'm holding it up there just right is the VHS Filmation Special, Skeletor's Revenge, which was a VHS release in 1980s. Well, this was 1986 when this VHS was released. And our wonderful and dear friend Penny Dreadful sent us a copy of it. And it's and just for those of you who want to get your hand on a copy of this. You can get this on DVD at ontherunvideo.com store. Ontherunvideo.com store. And this special, just to remind everybody before we get into the actual special itself, is accompanied with the Greatest Adventures of All special bumpers for the TV show. It also includes the Golden Book stories that were available on VHS of both He-Man and She-Ra. Action figure commercials, vehicle commercials, not all of them, but some of them.
Good amount, yeah, good amount.
TV spots, the alternate opening to the He-Man and the Master Series where it ends with, you know, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil masters of the universe. That's
Yeah.
available on there. There's stuff for New Adventures of He-Man on there from commercials and bumpers and I think the pilot or alternate. God, I forgot what was el what the other thing was on there
I
too.
really did love those damn bumpers, the Orko bumpers, and
Oh yeah,
it's so
all
long.
the bumpers and there's stuff for She-Ra on there as well. I believe some commercials and things. So it's a 2-disc set. It's $20. $20 to own content that's never been released on VHS. Not just the specials. I mean, a lot of these things you can find on YouTube, but you cannot find the Revenge of Skeletor on YouTube, period, and the Greatest Adventures of All, you can find snippets of the footage, but the actual footage itself, the entire special, only available on DVD at this website.
You know, I always wondered why Skeletor's Revenge did not pop up on YouTube in some form. You figured somebody, but it didn't, you
Yeah,
know?
I really am surprised, and I like to Grimbot, you'll have to hammer James E. talk about that. James had said he was going to upload that on the official He-Man YouTube channel because he's done a little video about the Greatest Adventures of All, and I'm like, all right, great. This is, you know, because I mean, I could have went to you know the asked the productions and had it converted to DVD, but this worked out great because it's a fantastic package of all this footage put in there all at once at your fingertips. So I don't know why, but. You know what? Maybe it's just it's I think this is a great way to go about it. $20 is quite a deal. And hey, while you're there, I went and checked out the website myself. They've got, you know, complete series and episodes of Muppet Babies, Bucky O'Hare, Dungeons and Dragons, Inhumanoids. I mean, a lot of various 80s and 90s cartoons, the RoboCop animated series, the entire series, that's only like 12 episodes. Visionaries, Sectars.
Oh, no shit. They have Sectars.
Yeah, this
Because
website
there's
has
only what? Didn't they do only 4 or 5 episodes
five
of
episodes.
Sectars? Oh,
Five
wow.
episodes, yeah. So that's available on this website as well. I mean, I was looking through it. I'm like, I like to have that Muppet Baby set so I can see my little nephew sees it because I like Muppet Babies. It's just funny as hell. And
No,
I'd
you know,
like to have that.
yeah, no, I was gonna say real quick, talking about the Skeletor's Revenge, because some people are wondering, I mean, is this like a whole complete episode? Like, when you guys are talking about, what are you talking about? What context? It's like you said, basically introducing himself, who he is. He has Eva Lin with Beastman, and then they're talking about some of his times of battling He-Man. Then it goes into, like you said, an episode. Then when that episode ends, you hear, you know, Skeletor talking as he's looking over his big domed, you know, like, you know, vision pool. I'm sure this
Hover
is a technical
screen.
term. Hover screen, thank you. And he looks over it, then he talks again. Then he talks about some of the new evil warriors he has that he's going to use. And then one was in a battle. But all this animation is completely unique to, I mean, of course, there might be a little thing we've seen before. But what I mean is this whole scene is just for the Skeletor's revenge, but it has so many unique pieces of animation. It's what
Yes.
I love. Like, I was always wondering, is James Etok, is he hopefully lucky enough to have cells of this stuff? Especially like when Skeletor gets upset with Beastman and turns him into a frog, and there's like a beast frog. It's like, this is the coolest damn thing. But has he ever mentioned, did you ever hear anything from James if he
I
has
don't.
any?
I want to say I thought James had shared an image because it's towards the end of the special where Skeletor comes up to Beastman and says, you know, it kind of does like this little finger animation in front of Beastman, like puts his arm around him and says, you know, we will do this and we will get, you know, it's beautiful animation. I think he has shared like an image or a screen cap of that, but
well, just to let you know, Grimbot in the chat room just said he does have some of the cells, so that's pretty cool.
He does.
But of course, because you know what, and this is
why would I even question such a thing?
Exactly. Which I'm going to ask you something, and if you don't know it, maybe Grimbot would join in, because I don't have that steel trap of a memory like you do, Tyler. But in regards to the entire Filmation series, was there ever any other time where Panther was shown with a collar around his neck? Because I noticed a collar on his neck in that animation. I was like,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a collar on him.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, for the most part, if he's not wearing the saddle, he's pretty much kind of laying there bareback or even standing around bareback, like in Colossal Awakes or in Double-Edged Sword or Evelyn's plot. You know, he's, I don't recall you know, having a collar around his neck. But I mean, to paint an even greater picture here too, you get the opening sequence, what you're used to, and then it opens up. And I love this piece of music that plays. It's in so many episodes, but I'll steal this from James Etok. I like to steal a lot from him, but if I steal from him, I'll always give him credit.
Okay.
But the phrase "impending doom," and I always felt this piece of music, and Joseph knows what I'm talking about. It's taken through these panning shots of various parts of Eternia and building up to Snake Mountain. And when it goes into Skeletor's throne room, this beautiful animation of him, you know, appearing out of thin air in his throne. And then Beastman and Evil-Lyn show up, you know, and this, I mean, just so many, I mean, like when he, the animation of him firing the Havoc Staff. A lot of brand new animation. There's a lot of extra details on Skeletor, like his body, like his, there's a lot more muscle definition.
Even in his face when he's doing certain ways he turns.
Yeah, there's a lot more animation in his face. I mean, the sequence where he jumps up on the table and waving his Havoc Staff and his fist at them. I'll turn you both into salt and pepper shakers. It's a, you know, silly remark, but damn it, the sequence looks beautiful. And when I saw this, I thought it was so cool that after the first episode, the Energy Beast, and then that's when Skeletor introduces you, which was done for kids, to let the kids know we got new villains coming into this series, and shows you Whiplash, Webstor, and Cobra Khan in the hover screen. And he introduces them by name, and you see them in action. And it's such a great way. I saw this in fifth grade, you know, so this was like 94, I think, 94, 95. I had already seen these characters in the cartoon up to this point, but it's still so exciting. Like, oh, I get it now. This was their way of introducing, you know, the audience at that time. You know, it was like, oh, man, it's like Cobra Khan. Because yeah, by this point, you should have probably already seen them in action figure form, possibly, you know, or maybe even up to that point.
No, I liked it. You're right. I mean, the thing is, I had to be just surprised when they came on TV, or because I have a poster over in the spot in the wall that advertised about new exciting episodes coming. But I could picture if I was like you and others who maybe rented those videos. And when at the end, how He-Man turns at the screen, you know, be sure to look forward to, you know, 32
yeah.
exciting new episodes. I was like, I would have lost my mind. It's like, oh my God. So I love how they talk to us, you know, like letting
yeah,
us know.
I thought that was really cool too. When I watched it, I'm like, oh, wow, Skeletor's talking to me and telling me to come closer to this view screen.
Closer. Yeah, yeah.
It was great. And then when Cat and the Spider is over, to kind of showcase Webstore in action, and then Skeletor lets the audience know He-Man's got some new friends too, and then you're introduced to Buzz Off, Mechanic, and Fisto.
Yeah.
And even the Beastmen are giving their thoughts on these characters, and so is Skeletor, you know.
Oh, I love that. They're like, that one looks as strong as He-Man. I like that for Fisto. Yeah.
It was just like, this is so cool to introduce the audience, like the kids, like they're really hyping up these characters. You know, Skeletor's telling you, I got a new band of baddies that, you know, can beat all of you all. You know, and I've seen one of them in action. And then you got this really cool segment, you know, where they're saying it's too bad He-Man's always stopping us. And Skeletor's up petting Panthor, kneeling at him, and just kind of thinking. And says, one time I really thought I had him. And that was the biggest letdown when I saw that as a kid. Because when we were introduced to Trouble with Trollope, not only was it a crummy episode, but it didn't coincide with the story that's set up in the wraparound sequences. There's another James E. Talk reference for you. You know, it made no sense. I'm like, how did Skeletor almost get He-Man in this episode when he's not even in the episode? There was no peril for He-Man, essentially. So, and really, it's just one of those mistakes that I'm sure when Filmation was putting this together, they went with this episode instead of that episode. Because I'm sure they got Cat and Spider perfectly. The Energy Beast, not a good episode, but it's a kind of a fun way. I get that introduction episode. Cat and Spider is perfect to depict Webstore, but that last one, even though Whiplash is in it, when that you get in that close-up shot of Skeletor thinking, like, one time I almost had it.
You thought it was going to be a little more of an epic episode. Yeah,
and you're like, that's it? You know, but if it wasn't for all the extra animation, I mean, and it was a bit of a letdown, because in my mind, when I'm watching this for the first time, I thought, oh my God, I'm discovering something I've never ever seen before. I can't believe this. And, you know, I had it built up in my head. Is Too Bad going to be in this? Because I'd never seen Too Bad in the cartoon. I didn't know what to expect. But the animation sequences made it worthwhile, because even after that, when He-Man shows up and challenges Skeletor, Evil and Beastman take off, and you've got this fun animation of Skeletor charging in He-Man, and he gets stuck inside this kind of
Caged window,
yeah. And when He-Man walks over acting like, you know, the alpha male that he is, and kind of, you know, smiles like very confident, like, what a moron, and then looks at the kids, you know, and says, we'll be looking for you, you know, in this new season of He-Man. It just looks cool. Like, He-Man looks like such a badass when he's smiling, like, I've just defeated the villain, didn't have to do anything, and I'm here to let you know new episodes are coming, you know. We'll be watching. And like, oh, it's just
cool. And like, he talks to you, you know, Monday through Friday, and you can catch previous episodes too. When he's speaking to you like that. And see, that's what made this cool is, like you said, not only all the unique animation, but like even when I was talking earlier about that Beast Man as a frog, because when Skeletor first zapped him, and I seen this, I thought like Beast Man was melted. He killed him or something.
Yeah,
I was like, what the hell just happened? Then he's, you know, sits up, but so you get a completely new drone thing exclusively for that. And I think what made me most giddy about it was in the context of, like, I know I don't remember the adventures, I don't remember every one of Batman, the animated series. I don't remember every single episode of that. But when we were like doing some for our other podcast, when we were doing Capes and Commentaries, I watched it, it started making me remember. And however the heck we got on the conversation about the video games, like I always love to do, and then I shared with you and people saying, did you know that the Adventures of Batman and Robin on the Sega CD had actual, and it was like a whole nother cartoon. Yeah. And just like this, the Skeletor's Revenge, how it was doing things to lead into an episode and after, that's what the Adventures, I mean, Jesus, I keep saying, that's what, yeah, the Adventures of Batman and Robin. That's what that video game did. It had animations before you did a level and after the level, the aftermath. So you got to see that for the first time. And I think you were pretty giddy because you figured, you know, you think you've seen all that. You see something new. So that's what this Skeletor's Revenge gave for me.
Yeah, I imagine it was probably pretty enjoyable for you because this is Joe's first. I've talked about it multiple times on the podcast, but up until Penny's help, Joe has never seen this before. So it's so cool to finally talk to somebody that has actually seen this footage, because I feel like, you know, I know James had seen it, but I hadn't really got to converse with him about it. So You know, it's, and I'm sure Grimbot is probably seeing it. Like, I'm assuming Grimbot is probably seeing
Oh, yes, I'm sure he has, because in a way he might have gave me little snippets. You know, it wasn't the big screen like I watched on TV, but I got, you know, snippets to see some of that Skeletor's Revenge, but to see it all on big screen and full, and I loved it. It felt like I was watching it on TV. I mean, it had that, like, VHS type of quality.
I really would love to see, because I've got a whole bunch of VHS. I would love to have this transferred to DVD so I could watch that traditional old school VHS kind of grit and grain, the way, and with the RCA Columbia House introduction to it.
It takes you back. It really does.
Watching it on DVD, it just doesn't have the same magic as watching it on VHS, because I've got The Greatest Adventures of All on DVD already, but the quality on this one I actually like a little bit better. But it's there's nothing like it, because that was the way I watched it for so long. The DVD versions are a little too polished. The panning speed feels like it's sped up a little bit for some reason. Maybe I'm out of my mind. Maybe Grimbot can confirm that one if he knows what I'm sure he knows what I'm talking about. But there's nothing like it. So it's hard to find, and not. You will not have this box art for the DVD set. They put together their own artwork. You know, this has got Webstar attacking He-Man at Snake Mountain. And you've got the back here with He-Man inside the Cat's Temple, and a random shot of Merman and Whiplash, but looks like it's from Island of Fear. And then you've got Orko and Man at Arms. One thing about a lot of these VHS tapes, they would put images for other episodes on the backs of them sometimes.
That worked, so, yeah.
And I was saying, like, well, that's not in the tape. What episode is that from? You know, so I would, you know, it was.
That would have got me as a kid, I can imagine. I would have been annoyed, like, what's happening? I missed something.
I'm glad I had those kind of memories, but I encourage fans. I think Wade Thurman, who's one of our listeners, had told me that he went ahead and purchased a copy of that. So
that's pretty cool that you got. Yeah, you've had a couple people that mentioned that. I think I had seen it on my wall. So, yeah, after you talked about it, you know, a week or a couple weeks ago, you got people to do it. And also, Grimbot did say, James mentioned in the guide that the third episode was going to be the Gamesman. So I didn't know that. So
the Gamesman, though. For the Skeletor's Revenge special?
I think that's what he's referring to. Of course, he'll pop it up saying it. But yeah, I think that's what he was referring to.
I haven't watched that episode in a long time. So it just doesn't register me like to be the one that Skeletor almost got He-Man. There's many other more episodes that would have fit that spot.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But either way, it's a great set to buy. If you haven't seen it before, go ahead and buy this, because it's worth it just to see all that cool animation. And plus, you're getting, like you said, so much more. The bumpers and commercials and golden books that, you know, the ones that had the audio.
Yeah, to have the golden book stories on DVD now instead of on VHS. I mean, you can watch them on YouTube, but still to have them on DVD to watch on your big screen, your flat screen. Hey, it's not available anywhere else. And I'd say at this point, it's probably never going to be. So if you want a copy to watch on your big TV, this is the place to do it. It's one big package of great He-Man footage. I can't encourage people enough to go get their copy of it, because it's nice to have all this, you know, forgotten footage is available to purchase, because it's whoever's running this site is friends with Penny, and I'm pretty sure. And I want to, if they're listening, I want to thank them for putting all this together.
It's great. It is.
Yeah. It's a lot of great stuff, and I think every He-Man fan owes it to themselves to have this in their collection of He-Man animation, from, you know, videotapes, DVDs, laser discs, cells, whatever. It's stuff that's not seen. It's not available on the internet. At least Skeletor's Revenge, you can't watch it anywhere else. If you want to see it, it's worth it. The animation is beautiful. It's exciting.
Yeah. Anything fresh to the eyes, like I said, you know, even though that was done back in the day, but it was for a VHS tape. There might have been many people just like me that just did not rent the tapes. So this is like brand new stuff to, you know, to me and probably to them. And Adam Gabbert, he did get his, I think he said.
Good job, yeah, Adam.
There you go. And JSP said he's waiting for his to come. So there's people here that ordered it. And by the way, Grimbot said, yes, that episode he was referring to, the Gamesman, was going to be the third one. And that was on Skeletor's Revenge. He said, but here's the thing. He said, it's an episode that had zero Skeletor in it. He said,
that's which would have made... When he said, like, wait, the Gamesman?
That's so.
I'm like, damn it, man. You've been better off just putting, you know, Quest for He-Man, even though it's from season one in there, you know, which I don't want to encourage an episode with Plundor in it again, but at least at that point, Skeletor does successfully defeat He-Man like that.
Yes. You know? Yeah, so it's an awesome thing to buy.
What they were thinking. I do like this. I remember reading this in James's, I believe it was the first edition, the Old Testament, as I like to call it, from Reverend Etok, of the unofficial guide to He-Man and the Master of the Universe, where the greatest adventures of all was supposed to include four episodes, and Song of Solace was supposed to be a part of the greatest adventures of all, which I'm like, oh man, that'd have been so cool to have Lizard Man in that wonderful episode featured.
Now, was it ever mentioned, did they have the animation drawn up for anything that was set in stone that was going to be used for those extra pieces to introduce?
I have no idea. All I know is that there was four episodes lined up. They cut it to three. And it does make you wonder, was footage even storyboarded for what the Sorceress, how she would introduce the episode Song of Solace? Or was it just scrapped before it could even get that far? So, Grimbot,
if anybody would know, it would have been well, exactly. Maybe we'll one day hear that also. But, okay, well, that's that. So, we discussed Skeletor's Revenge. Now, we're going to get into just at least saying we're not going to read every single one, so you don't have to worry about us, like, holding you on forever. But we're going to discuss our top five mini-comic picks. Now, as I told you when we did this a long time ago, in that episode, I was a little off my game being irritated, just to let you know, so I didn't really give my true top five. But I'll just start off with, I guess, saying what one of my... Well, I'm going to have to go in order. Well, shit, do I go in order? Well, hell, here we go.
You just give me... Let's do it at random here.
Just random? Okay. All right. Well, the one we talked about it recently, The Terror of Triclops. If you want a mini-comic that's going to show Triclops portrayed, probably one of the best ways I've ever seen, this is where you have it, because this is where you see him, you know, like, you could say bounty hunter, whatever you want to refer to him as, but somebody that's brought forth by Skeletor, who's able to knock out Battlecat, take care of Teela, take care of Ram Man, and at one point, even best He-Man. It shows how damn skilled he was. I mean, plus being just a good story in itself. But anytime you can see Triclops being shown in this way, this is the perfect way, because I can't really think of any other time I've seen him get this kind of great treatment. And of course, yes, this is his mini comic, but they did a hell of a great job just portraying Triclops. So yes, right there, Terror Triclops. That's one of my picks. I don't know about what you thought, but yeah.
I initially, yes, it's in my top five. However, just so we don't constantly, because you and I repeat each other so much when we come up with our definitive list. And I run through a list and kind of, okay, I can cross that one out. So simply on the fact that I think most of our lists could be similar, Triclops, me personally, yes, it is in my top five. But okay, to give the limelight to another mini comic that I absolutely treasure and love is Snake Attack. You know, it's one that I've had since I was little. It was a very impressionable book. And it's all about the Stilt Stalkers, man.
You love them.
I love seeing that beautiful shot of Tongue Lasher and Rattler being confronted by He-Man on Stilt Stalkers in the swamp with Extendar. I just thought it was epic as hell, because as a kid, when I was like, I want the Stilt Stalkers. So, you know, and plus, not to mention, it's a great story. Skeletor looks like the arguably the most evil he's ever looked in that one. And King Hiss, you know, it was just, it's a beautiful comic book, mini comic. One of the best stories. It's a great Extendar story. I mean, the whole thing is good from beginning to end. It's good to see Tongue Rattler is this mute muscle, while Tongue Lasher is the brash and cocky snake man who's out to, you know, we're better than Skeletor. We can put him in his place too. So Snake Attack, Triclops. I mean, yeah, Terror of Triclops isn't my traditional top five, but I just feel like, you know what, I'm going to give Snake Attack that spot just for the podcast here, so to give some extra limelight.
Oh, yeah, because like you said, I'm sure there might be some that we have that's similar, and then sometimes it just might be personal preference from when we were a child. Like, there might be a certain connection, you know, because some, in which you guys in the chat room, if there's ones you have as your favorites, go ahead and do them too. But these are all like for me, kind of memories of things that for some reason maybe meant something to me or just really caught my attention. And like my other one is King of the Snake Men. This one just got, of course, this is where we see King Hiss popping out of that pit when Skeletor brings him. And I love again when he's first introduced to like that way of maybe double crossing on each other. But when He-Man's contacted and of course shows up in Jet Sled, that was pretty cool. It's like, okay, I
Yeah,
love that gift.
those 86 accessories don't get enough love and attention, in my opinion.
No, they don't. So you see him in that after the Sorceress contacts him, and I love seeing the jet sled. And when he arrives, he's thinking that Cobra Khan and Skeletor are beating up on some innocent guy, which it's a whole ploy. It's King Hiss. Skeletor takes off, and He-Man like wants to shake his hand. And when he sheds into King Hiss, it's like he looks. I loved how he looked. He looks so damn wicked with all the snakes and how they drew him in that. But and then he, hypnotizes, He-Man to like, kind of daze him out. But within this, of course, you see he then brings forth Rat-Lor and Tongue-Lashor. And I like how they reference, like, wait a second, this didn't work. You're supposed to be bringing them from the past, and these guys are working for Hordak and Etheria. And, he's like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, when you were gone, and of course, you hear about the banishment. That's why, like, you hear about, him being banished and the elders or whatever sending them back. So I liked hearing about, because I believe they were talking about, like, how he was for thousands of years. Thousands of years ago, he came to Eternia, but he's also conquered other worlds. I love hearing backstories and interesting things like that, and now he wants to take over again. But I did like how they made a nod to Rat-Lor and Tongue-Lashor, saying, wait a second, those guys are working for Hordak. But at the end is that sneaky little thing where Skeletor is saying, Cobra Khan, you join them so you can be my spy, but you tell me what's going on. I like that. So Cobra
Yeah, and
Khan
I
became.
like that because when you would buy those figures, like the Snake Men at that time, they would advertise Cobra Khan on the backs of the packaging, which I thought that was a nice touch to really play up. Hey, expand the Snake Men, group, get Cobra Khan because storyline wise, he's working for, and that's what I want to see in other canons. That Cobra Khan voluntarily joins up the Snake Man just to only report back to Skeletor because I Cobra Khan is a true evil warrior. I know people like him from NYP as a Snake Man, but man, I just picture the vintage Cobra Khan and Filmation Cobra Khan as being a very loyal henchman that Skeletor respects the hell out of.
Oh yeah, like I said, I guess it's again comes to people whatever their preference and their choices. I was going to say, let me see, Jordal Fresh Breeze, thank you for joining us. Said Escape from the Slime Pit was probably his favorite. Adam Gabbard, he said he liked a mini comic where he seen Thunder Punch He-Man. Aaron Amon, or excuse me, Eric Amon said for reasons unknown, Masks of Power is the one he remembers the most. And for nostalgia is his number one of all time. Let me see. Zen Brown, the original mini Eternia books are on my personal fave. And then Jordal Fresh Breeze again said Clash of Arms, Dragon's Gift, Menace of Moduloc. And with JSP, Teela's Quest, Problem with Power, Quest for He-Man are some of his favorites. So I guess he got in a Filmation episode there. Wait, those are all Filmation episodes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey, well, those are his Filmations. I will say mini comic, but hey, JSP, I
Hey, keep
appreciate.
talking. I'll be right back, Joe. One second.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, JSP, I was mentioned mini comics, but I like hearing some of the Filmation ones as well. So yeah, there's quite a few. That's what I mean. When I was sitting here, I was thinking, Jesus, I gotta pick my top five, but there's so many great ones. So I was doing with like what you guys are doing as well. I'm trying to go from memory as a kid of ones that connected with me the most. So I see you guys are doing the same thing. Just sometimes it might be a memory of when you were a kid, but well, that was one of my others. So what's one of your others, T-Rex?
Search for Keldor.
Yes.
Yes,
Gosh,
which.
I'm holding this one. So okay, just to let you know, I have my top five here. Since he's doing that, I guess you already know it's one of my top five. I'll drop it and we can both talk about Search for Keldor.
Yeah, I had it as a kid. Very, very vague recollections. I remember more about the card back when I saw Clampchamp for the first time when I got Faker. So for some reason, I don't know why that this mini comic did leave the big impression on me that Clash of Arms and others did. Because when I bought Clampchamp in fifth or eighth grade or something. Anyway, when I bought them brand new and Yes, I did open them up, but I do have a complete Men on Card Clan Champ over here in the acrylic case, so I have since made up for that sin.
All right.
At the time, there was no. I didn't have internet, and I wouldn't have internet till high school. So when I bought it, I wanted to open them up so I could display Clan Champ and look at the mini comic. It was the first time I had held a new mini comic in my hand since I was, 4 or 5 years old.
All right.
So it was a big deal to me to have that mini comic, and I would look at it and to kind of essentially renew my memory of this, because at the time I had no memory of it or much of one, and seeing Scareglow and Ninja in action and everything, and it was just it's a kick-ass story. You've got so many great characters. Faker gets the short stick again, unfortunately.
Yeah, with King Randor throwing his scepter right through his chest.
Quick, I think it's strictly the fault that they were trying to get so many characters that this mini comic was going to be featuring, from the Sorceress, King Randor, Clan Champ, Scareglow, Ninja, or Faker. You got six characters.
But hell, weren't those basically all? I mean, weren't they all released in the same wave? Isn't that why probably the
Yeah. So you've got all those characters in one, and then you've got the two new Hordesmen, or Buzzsaw Hordak and Mosquitor, in their own comic, and then you got Snake Face, Blast Attack, and Squeeze in their own mini comics. So they're really trying to pack out all the characters as much as they can in a Horde mini comic, the Snake Man mini comic, and a Evil Warrior / Heroic Warrior mini comic. So, but that's what makes it so much fun, is that you get so many characters packed into one. And if you, like Joe, you owned that entire last wave, you probably had multiple copies of
it. Oh, I did, my God. Yeah, I always wonder, I was like, what the hell do I have so many of these Search for Keldors? And I forgot, it was with this figure and this figure, this figure. So, yeah, but it was like, you know, they still had a great story, even with trying to give you so many characters in that, you still get to see about, Clamp Champ and his super senses of catching that arrow, Ninja, or you see Scareglow do his thing, and even Faker having his return, because no pun intended with the return of Faker when I did that. That really was unintentional, which we'll hopefully be seeing eventually, which we will, definitely. But, no, we got to see him, but it was short-lived. But you're even seeing King Randor get down to business. And I always remember when I seen that Faker release at the store, I was like, I already got Faker. Why do I want him? And I was like, oh, man, I wish I would have got him just to get that cool little, art on the front of the card, It's like, I liked how they did that. But, no, that one, it sticks with me because not only all that stuff going on, but the whole thing with Keldor. Who is this Keldor guy? Because remember, it was never stated officially that was Skeletor. I mean, going to become Skeletor. We just knew that King Randor was looking for Keldor, and it might have been hinted at, insinuated, but it was never specifically said. But just the cliffhanger itself, you always wonder, who is this guy? What's going on? And it never happened. And so, of course, you're let down that we didn't get more to find out who this Keldor guy would have been if it would have continued. I wanted to say one more quick thing when I was talking about King of the Snake Men. The other thing that was memorable for me for that I always liked, how Clash of Arms, where I say, that's basically Fisto's time to shine. That's a Fisto, mini comic. And He-Man shows up at the end. Well, in King of the Snake Men, it was just He-Man was the only person that was doing anything, besides, I think, the Sorceress summoning him.
Yeah,
I think the only person you've seen was He-Man in that. And I can't honestly, from my memory, remember how many mini-comics featured just He-Man by himself. I was like, I don't know if there was many like that. There's usually somebody else is there.
For some reason, Flying Fists of Power comes to mind.
That would be something, because I was trying to rack my brain.
Hang on. I've got it right here. No, never mind. Okay. Buzz Off and Cyclone are in that one.
That'd be kind of a weird little trivia tidbit. Yeah. We're not including, like I said, the Sorceress of the Summoning, but just being in action, because he's always having somebody by his side, Teela, Man-at-Arms, somebody, but not this one. It was just all him.
It doesn't happen too often, because, there's always an ally, to promote with He-Man. I don't know. Wait a second. Oh, never mind.
Oh, you thought you found one? I'm sure there might be.
Like I said, you flip through, like, oh, well, now forget that.
So you got that big monster book in front of you.
Yeah, I'm looking at the other Bible here.
Yeah, the big Bible. So, my third pick, or at least one of my five and my third was the same as yours, you got to go into another, because I will, be ahead. I'd be four with your two. So,
okay. The Powers of Grayskull, The Legend Begins.
Another good one.
Yeah, that was one that left a big impression on me when I got the T-Rex and the Turbodactyl as a kid. that's when I discovered Squeeze for the first time. And for years and years, I swear to God, I mean that when I said I would wonder who that character was, because he wasn't name checked in the mini comic, so I had no idea who he was. And I just thought, I don't know who he is, but he looks, and he's not in it very long, but I thought there's a snake man who extends his arms out. Like, that's cool as hell. And all the dinosaurs and Skeletor going back in time. And I still wasn't really registering what the Three Towers were, because I think that was the only mini comic I owned that featured the Three Towers. So I didn't, you know, I couldn't read. So I didn't know there was this, you know, buildup of what that they just kind of came out of the ground due to what happened in the Ultimate Battleground. So it was all new to me. I had no idea what they were or how they got there. But I would look at it so much. And of course, with that infamous cliffhanger of like wondering who this character was that shows up and, you know, erases the events that are going on and sends He-Man and Skeletor back to the present day. I mean, to be little and just wonder, and Joe knows too, and so many of us do, like, what happened? Who was it? And
right.
But the art was beautiful by our good friend Larry Houston. And it was just, epic as hell. I mean, the world of the dinosaurs is something I so desperately want to see more of, you know, to see more use of Bionatops and Turbodactyl. Turbodactyl, and that's another thing too. In the mini comic, Turbodactyl is depicted as a steed for that works for King Hiss, and Skeletor rides him into battle. But on the box, Hero is riding him. So it kind of makes you wonder too, you know. And even in the commercial, Turbodactyl is depicted as a heroic beast that helps out He-Man. Who is he aligned with, Turbodactyl? I depicted him as a good guy when I would play with him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was a good one for me as well, because even on that giant William George poster, remember King Randor is writing Turbodactyl, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, he's had a lot of different people being the person that, you know, is the writer for him. But no, I loved, you know, I was almost going to say Powers of Grayskull. I had that. I was going back and forth between that and another one, because these two I looked at probably almost as much, but this one just came out a little more, and that's the Ultimate Battleground. This one, it's just, again, it's another time with, well, King Hiss and Skeletor and a plot, but they're going to raise the Three Towers that were, you know, put down, you know, years ago from the ancients, and all the power of, well, it just, for me, it's because, of course, I had that damn playset, so I wanted to reenact a lot of the stuff that was in that comic, along with new things that were going on when you find out, okay, there's one source of power of good from, you know, Grayskull Tower, Viper Tower has another, but Central Tower is the one that holds the power for both, but that's what has the ultimate power. And when King Hiss is telling, you know, his warriors, you know, who to go where, like, okay, you're going to go guard Grayskull Tower, which was Rat-Lore. I think it was Rat-Lore was guarding yeah. Grayskull Tower. And I think King Hiss told Skeletor and Tongue Lasher to go together. Or no, maybe was he originally going to go, but I think Skeletor ended up going to Central Tower.
Skeletor and Tongue Lasher go to Central Tower and tells Tongue Lasher to go first, and that's when the Jaws grab a hold.
Yeah, because he had a feeling there was a trap, because King Hiss originally, he wanted to go to Central Tower, but Skeletor was like, no, I'm going to do it. But King Hiss let him, because King Hiss knew of the traps that were there. So he was like, yeah, you're going to find out. And so he went to Viper Tower, and King Hiss was like spying on to see what was going on. But of course, He-Man gets word, comes there, you know, he's getting blasted on. And at one point, then here comes Snout's about to, you know, kind of help out He-Man, and then drops He-Man on top of, you know, Central Tower. So eventually then, He-Man's getting the power too, because Skeletor got super jacked up in power. But of course, He-Man's already powerful. Now he got super jacked, you know, to defeat him. But I just liked it. I liked the use of the playset, the characters that we've seen and known before, of, you know, finding out the history of the Central Towers within that mini comic. So this one just made it fun. I love, don't get me wrong, Powers of Grayskull, because I wanted more and more. But I guess just memories from a kid and an attachment. It's because of that damn playset over there just really sucked me in.
And I wouldn't say that mini comic until the early days of the internet, when, you know, like when He-Man.org would put scans of that on there. And that's how I got to look at it for the first time. And it was, and now having access to it here, I'll never own a hard copy of that unless I run across it by somebody at the flea market who doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, they sell that for a lot of money, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to get it dirt cheap. It just ain't going to happen. But that's why I'm glad we have, you know, have it accessible to at least look at it, because it's a beautiful mini comic. And I always like a lot of the stories that take place at night, and most of this book takes place at night. You know, battling at the Three Towers at nighttime. You know, featuring He-Man's riding the laser bolt in it, isn't he?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, he came in with laser bolt.
Yeah, shows up in laser bolt, and it's cool because it's featuring, you know, Rio Blast, Extendar, and Snout Spout. You know, the 86 wave of heroes. Then you've got the Snake Men and everything, and it just looks awesome seeing, you know, going up the elevator, and it's fun to kind of picture what the Viper Tower is supposed to be, because I was so desperate to see what they look like, and then when I would see scans of what they actually look like, boy, that's kind of disappointing. But that mini comic really helps play up what your imagination should be pretending is going on if you had the good fortune of owning that play set, that when the head's moving around, you know, one of the villains, it could be Module, like it could be Cobra Khan or Blade or Sorot.
It's like a periscope that you would be looking for. Yeah, it's
as a periscope that any villain could go in there and use that to spy on what's going on at Central Tower or across the big blankets of mountains that you may have used to play with your action figures and stuff like that. You know, take a big blanket, drop in the floor, make it like a mountain terrain or something like that. Over that way's Castle Grayskull, and over that way's Snake Mountain, you know.
And that's what helped. You're right. That's what was great about this mini comic, because if you were to have the playset, I had an absolute blast with Central Tower because you could see all the stuff that's going on and what you can do with it. But when you came to Grayskull Tower, it's like, okay, somebody gets trapped. Kind of cool. Then when you play with Viper Tower, if you didn't have the context of this mini comic, you'd think, was this just turning the snake to scare people? You wouldn't even know what the hell it's to do. So that's why this mini comic helped. It lets you know what's going on. It's like, okay, now I can create things and build upon this and use my imagination.
Yeah, and that's why it looks so great, because Bruce Timm did a really good job of really illustrating what you should see. That obviously the playset can't have everything, but that's what part of the fun of it was. You had to imagine a lot of it, and that's what really enhances as a child what kind of adventures you would be having. And one of my favorite shots in that mini comic is when He-Man's riding the battle tram. I've always loved the use of the battle tram, and see Skeletor destroy it with the laser cannon, and Snoutspout swoops down with the blaster hawk to save him and drop him off on top. I just think that was just a cool little action sequence, because I just like in Revenge of the Snake Man, I use the battle tram to get to Viper Tower a lot faster, playing up the idea that there's a great distance between the towers. Like, even getting out and walking takes a great while to get to the other side of the Three Towers. So, like, the battle tram is, like, the fastest way to get there.
And I loved it.
I just think it's cool. I think it's a fun thing. I want to see Axel, you know, illustrate, you know, the stuff from that. You know, I want to see more of Stilt Stalkers and the Jet Sled and the Mega Laser and the Three Towers and
all of it. Yeah, because
I want to see all of it. I want to see more of it. I want to see more. There's so much stuff, and people are just like, drop, draw, Beastman. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? We got to mix it up here, people. Everything just can't be the bare minimum of the most basic of basic characters. Not to knock those characters. We can't have it with that. What I'm just trying to say, let's mix it up a little bit, you know?
Sure. Seeing some of the others. I mean, yeah, that playset, you know, I know, of course, when I'd have He-Man going around with the battle tram or anything else, yeah, was it going to definitely be going at the speed you'd see in a comic, but it worked. And, you know, just like how when Skeletor got all that, you know, the ultimate power, and then he went to the top to get onto that, you know, laser cannon and charge it. I thought that was kind of cool. But of course, like you said, to save the day, here comes Snoutspot on Blaster Hulk shooting out those discs to knock them off. It's like, it just made for more fun, because just recreating it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever owned Blaster Hawk, but damn it, that
I do own a Blaster Hawk. I got it right here on the show.
You got discs too?
No, don't have any discs. No.
Okay, because damn, it's like I'm reliving things as I'm talking about this. I just remember I love loading it up and shooting them discs out, and it was just the coolest thing, because it's like shooting out frisbees, and I love playing frisbees, so it was like mini frisbees. But no, so that's one of my fourth. Now I'll pass to you for your fourth out of five.
As the people had to guess, Clash of Arms.
Okay.
You know, that's, I don't feel like I need to spend a whole deal of time on it.
I'm going to put this down, because that was my fifth one right there, Clash of Arms. So there you go, but we can discuss it.
Yeah. I mean, just like we said in the previous episode and other episodes too, I mean, it's, I'm not going to get too excited simply because I've discussed it so many times, and I don't want listeners to get like, oh God, here it is again, Clash of Arms. But you know, for those of you who have not heard those episodes, it's the epitome of portrayals for Clawful and Jitsu and Fisto, and the quartet of Webstorm.
Don't don't forget Whiplash, because Whiplash, he was like for Whiplash, me.
Too. Yes.
He was the highlight for me because I thought, damn, he could kill Fisto. He looked like he could have killed him. That's what was so impactful. Like, my God, Fisto couldn't do nothing. So, but go ahead.
No. But I guess for me, that opening fight with the quartet of Webstor, Triclops, Jitsu, and Clawful was something I had never seen before. I had never seen Clawful, Jitsu, and Webstor at all up to that point. So to see all of them with Triclops and Stridor, I think that was the first time I'd seen Stridor and certainly Fisto, but it was just such a memorable quartet of badass, you know, to see these four evil warriors. And they were, I mean, Triclops wasn't like the more kind of leaner in toned Triclops that you see in Terror Triclops. Like, he was the kind of more bulkier, like Filmation style Triclops. At least that's how it looked to me. And
he was basically there in the beginning. He didn't show up really later.
Yeah, and then after that. But I just thought that was cool that whoever wrote it threw in Triclops in this quartet. And with the Clash of Arms, too, it really plays up. You know, Fisto's got a big metal fist. Jitsu has got a big gold karate chopping fist. Clawful's got a big right-hand claw. Plays up the whole Clash of Arms. Whereas the cover is, you know, I mean, it speaks for itself. And I wish we had asked Larry, you know, about designing this cover, because this is, to me, this is the greatest cover of all the mini comics. I don't care what anybody else says, this is the greatest mini comic cover of all time. But just this whole shot, like, you got Clawful's arm right there, the three big primary, you know, arms are displayed on here in Skeletor's pose, everything. I mean, what could you ask for? This cover has it all, man. Whiplash. You could probably say that is probably Whiplash's greatest depiction. I mean, I love him personally, and Betrayal of Stratos, that's always going to be my favorite.
Yeah, because that's the one thing, just to say something real quick, that kind of always got me about the cover. Yes, they're showing everybody else, but I was like, I felt like if I could have replaced anybody on the cover, it would have been taking out Triclops to put Whiplash, because, you know, these are the ones that were really hammering home. It's like, for Whiplash to have such a time to shine in a mini comic, which he did, I was like, man, I felt like he should have been on the cover. But I'm sure they probably told Larry, you got to put this person, this person, this person, this one. I'm sure he was, of course, he's doing what they're telling him to do on for the comics and pages. But Whiplash, beyond Fisto having his time to shine, because it was all Fisto comic of beating the hell out of everybody, Whiplash, he really showed what he was about. You know, Larry did a great job of having him, you know, beat the hell out of Fisto.
He does. And what's fun, too, is that, you know, obviously good has to win in the end. But the way this is written, Fisto loses. I mean, he's went through the gauntlet, barely beat Clawful, takes out Jitsu, and then Whiplash is about ready to kill him, and then He-Man shows up. But it's fun to think about the idea, if He-Man hadn't shown up, Fisto would have died.
Yeah.
You know, that Fisto is strong, but he can't beat all of Skeletor's evil warriors back-to-back like that. Just can't do it.
So that was it. That was, at least for me, that was my top of the top five. But I also want to say hello to Tyke Smyers in the chat room.
Well, Hordak, the ruthless leader, the ruthless leader's evil. Ah, damn it, the ruthless leader's revenge. That rounds up my top five.
That was a Royal Rumble, but go ahead. Yeah, that is a big battle of a mini comic. What went on in it.
But I thought you were done with the conversation. That's
no, oh no, no, oh no. I was finishing up my one for my top five. But now, yeah, go into the Hordak one, because, yeah, I like this one.
Oh yeah, I mean, if for those who don't know, I mean, it is the Royal Rumble of many comics, and the Royal Rumble, if you don't know, is the big 30-man match at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. I'm assuming people who listen to this, they know what the hell the Royal Rumble is. If you don't, just do a quick Google search or YouTube. But where you've got three major factions all going at it in front of Castle Grayskull, and I always liked how Larry would draw Castle Grayskull sometimes. It's like a big little fort. Like a four-sided fort, and not you know, like it looks like a traditional fort. Like you
compared
look
to
at,
a castle, but, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
I always thought, you know, and I noticed that as a kid. I'm like, that looks. It was just an interesting look to me, even as a kid. But I just, it was a story that I had to read, you know, through pictures and everything to see that this alliance. And I was gung ho evil warriors as a kid, man. Like, even though I had all the Horde, I loved the Horde. Want this mini comic? I was all about the evil warriors beating the Horde, though, because I did not want to see any of the Horde get the upper hand. That's why I was pissed off when Mantana took out Cobra Khan, but super thrilled that Jitsu kicked the hell out of you know, Leech, and that Grizzlor and a Whiplash are going at it. I was like, I hope Whiplash kicks his ass. You know, as a kid, I was just like, I wanted the evil warriors to win. I did not want them to lose.
Yeah, and it had that feeling of, like you said, if you wanted to relate to wrestling, because what I found appealing about that is, you know, when you'd watch wrestling, and if you ever, back in the day, seen two bad guys go at it for some reason, turn on each other, like, oh man, this is crazy, it's cool, I don't really like either one of them, but this is awesome. So, yeah, to see, like you said, the Horde, the evil warriors, and like you said, the expression on all the heroic warriors to look like, what is going on? Like that shocked look, like, are they fighting each other? You know, that's what just made
me.
Yeah,
and then it made sense to me, and I don't think it was a goof, but it's depicted with Grizzlor and Leech fighting and Jitsu and Whiplash fighting. Now, bad guys are bad guys. It doesn't take much to set the bad guys off. So I could clearly see that in the midst of this fight, the actual factions turn on themselves. Like Leech bumps into Grizzlor and says, dude, what the hell are you doing? And Jitsu, you know, karate chops Whiplash's tail by accident, and then they start going at it. You know, it makes sense, and because Manny Face says the vile fiends turn on each other. You know, it because we're already seeing the Horde and the evil warriors clash, and the heroic warriors are watching all this. And then as it progresses, then the factions turn on themselves internally, which I'm like, oh man, I mean, like they're just beating the hell out of each other. Everyone's just going back and forth.
They're doing He-Man's work for them, basically. It's like,
yeah,
you guys,
it's like, enough of this nonsense, and just, you know, creates a giant, you know, crater in between to separate it, and the fight breaks up. But can you imagine seeing an episode of that with a story of that caliber, you know, Filmation, MYP, whatever, where you've got all three of these factions just beating the hell out of each other? God, it's something that just is, you know. I don't know what they've done in the current DC books. I could care less because they don't get anybody that does anything worthwhile.
Well, that was an excellent choice you had, though. I mean, you know, when I was telling everybody in the chat room when you were doing something early, it's like, I was like, man, it's hard to pick because there's so many great ones. But I basically went with some that just had memories and some kind of thought in my head of what meant something. And plus, they're all great. I mean,
there are some others I wouldn't have, like Battle of Roboto. That's another one I probably would have mentioned. Ultimate Battleground.
Like here, for example. Well, first I was going to say there's a couple of questions I will answer in the chat room here in a second. And
I got a fan thing to run by you real quick, too.
All right, cool. And if anybody here has anything, you know, any questions that you want to ask us, go ahead and pop it down there right now, and we'll answer those while we're answering some of these others. But first, I want to say something about the Alcala early, the four mini comics. You know, a lot of people sometimes question me and say, none of those made your top five? And in no way am I putting down those comics. Like I said, they're great, but I found a lot of people that, you know, when they message me their tops, they'll mention a lot of the early ones. And I say they were great to look at and beautiful, but sometimes the stories weren't, for me, super deep. In fact, like, because they said they were still trying to figure out what in the hell was going on when they were doing Masters. There was a lot of stuff that seemed confusing, like they give a description that didn't match, like, you know, saying shooting powers out of his weapon, but it's coming out of Beastman's hands. And then it leads to a lot of also confusion, where so many people think Merman beat up He-Man and was real strong in the first four mini comics. Merman was super strong and he was able to take He-Man out. And I always say, which book? And they usually don't, you know, most of the time don't know, but when they research it, they're like, oh, here, this one, Battle in the Clouds. I was like, did you read that though? And they said, no, I looked at all the pictures. I was like, go ahead and read that. And then they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize He-Man got hit by a gust of wind as he was on the sky sled. He fell down to the ground. He was unconscious as he's getting up. He's like, he's just fell, whatever, 100 feet down. He lands. He's pretty much knocked out. He's getting up groggy. Merman grabs a boulder and takes advantage, slams it on He-Man and knocks him out, and then takes his power vest because they always see him holding that power harness saying,
Yeah,
He-Beat.
people love to promote that as if, like, yeah, this is when the He-Man comics were real, badass. I'm like, well, they look great, man, but I'm sorry they do not hold a candle to Clash of Arms and the Hordak mini comic, Search for Keldor, Ultimate Battleground, Snake
And
and
it's
Terrace.
again, you're right. It's not putting them down. They are good comics, great stories, but it's just it's confusion that's always happening. So when everybody sees that image of Merman, they think he beat the hell out of He-Man. It's like, no. And when they read it, they're like, oh, it's like in a way you feel like, damn, they're kind of like dreams got crushed because they didn't realize that. And it's not their fault. They just are going by pictures and what they think was happening, which wasn't the case.
Yeah, and sometimes it kind of feels like that's like the kind of cliche go-to thing, which I mean, if you really like it, that's great. Absolutely. But Joe has told me for years that people have always circling that particular set of mini comics as like being the pinnacle, which the style and everything is great. But in terms of like storytelling and artistic style, I mean, the later waves of mini comics, it got vastly improved upon. Like the stories were just so much more fun. And I didn't have any of those as a kid. I had all the other mini comics. When I got He-Man and Skeletor, they didn't come with those original mini comics, at least not that I can remember. Hell, I can't even remember which one it did come with,
Can
to be honest.
I was gonna bring something up. It's what something that Larry Houston said, which I've heard for years about certain things, but he said like when he was drawing his comics, he was always taught that you could tell a story with pictures without words, but you know what's going on. Now, of course, the early mini comics weren't as much comics as storybooks, meaning they could just give you one picture, tons of dialogue. So you really can't tell by looking at each photo what's going on. You can't tell. You have to read the story. Otherwise, you'll get some misconceptions about what you believe what's going on. So I'm sure that if those early comics went with more comic style panels, then you could have got the gist of the story a little better. But sticking on just one picture for a storybook, it's kind of hard to tell a story, with a what one picture.
It is, and I still appreciate and enjoy all those, but I still feel like the quality got better as the series progressed. I mean, Larry Houston and Bruce Timm's various books, I mean, I tend to look at them as the best, because not just because of the impression they had on me as a kid, but as an adult, I go back and look at them. I mean, they left an impression for a reason because they were some damn good stories. They really were. I mean. The Grizzlor, the legend comes alive. Is it the name, the tagline? The legend lives, the legend comes alive. I mean, I didn't see that until I was older. I love that mini comic. That's a great one. I mean, the Slime Pit is a fun one. The Terror Claw Strike, Spike Force Strikes was another one I liked as a kid.
Those Terror Claws always cracked me up. It was different, compared to the toy, how he had those really long fingernail claws on the cover of the Terror Claw Strike. They looked quite different from what you had as the toy, but it still was a memorable cover. But,
Oh yeah.
well,
It's, I mean, well, yeah.
Well, I want to hit you first with some of the questions in the chat room before
Okay,
you hit
well,
me
here,
with
let
that
me run
fan
this
one.
question by you real
Okay,
quick.
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, our friend Brad Collins hit us up, and I thought this was great. So, and he suggested, with it being basketball season, which is my personal favorite sport, and the playoffs are going on, he asked, who would we put together for our own basketball team, like the Heroic Wars versus the Evil Wars? Who would you, with our top 5 minutes, who would you put in for your starting five?
Oh Lord, well okay, let's see on the Heroic Warriors. That one I guess I'll do a kind of a no-brainer. I'm gonna have Extendar as center. Because he wrote, yeah, okay. He'd be the center. Now, somebody that would have maybe a keen sense of angles and eyes and be able to do stuff, maybe you could put Mechanek as being maybe a power forward. I don't know. Let's see, because hey, you can see the basket a little bit better. Oh, this is a crazy question. Would Roboto be part of the team as he can analyze the plays and could like be putting calculations of who he could pass to as it's going on? So Hell, look, you could throw Roboto in there. I love this being put on the spot. Oh God, I would. Who else could I put on that team? Would well, no, you can't have them beaten. But okay, you know how at times you know somebody can like you know as you're dribbling, you're kind of using your butt to back and back without like you know charging.
You're
Maybe
posting up.
Ram.
You're posting up.
Yes. So maybe you could have Ram-Man because he's big and girthy. You know, he's posting up. He's kind of getting back as he's going to the. And hell, with the spring legs, then he can boom, jump and dunk it. So I guess I'll throw Ram-Man on there. And it's weird. I'm just trying to use their gimmicks in a sense of who to do what. But maybe you could have. I don't know who could be a fifth. Who could be a fifth? Can Cyclone's radar detect where everybody's at and in certain spots? I'll put Cyclone in there too. So
Yeah,
I.
yeah.
Those are my five, I guess, for a heroic basketball team.
Okay. I went in, took the time. I put together starting lineup for the Heroic Warriors, the Evil Warriors, the Horde, and the Snake Man.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I don't have that time, but you go ahead and do all yours. But
All
I
right.
had to, on the spot, do good
Oh, I
guys.
know, because I don't know if Joe had caught it when Brad sent it to us. So Brad, thank you very much for this. My
I like
starting
it.
Heroic Warriors is at point guard, I've got Lizard Man. You know, because I picture like he's a kind of a smaller like Muggsy Bogues kind of player.
And he
I've got
definitely have a good grip on that ball
yeah,
too when
but
he's
he's got
dribbling.
awesome grip, moving the ball around, you know, doing tricks
Yeah.
with it, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, Allen Iverson. I guess as a picture of like you know him playing like Allen Iverson looking
All
guy.
right.
Cyclone as shooting guard. You know, plus having a human radar out there could detect you know when screens and picks. You know, being able to you know detect you know defense you know people on defense you know coming up behind them or something like that, you can move around them real quick. I'd have extend art center. I'd have He-Man at power forward, you know, because he's got the power.
All right.
Then I put Clamp Champ as small forward because of his heightened senses, you know, to be and I'm like also with you got radar detection, heightened see, and I thought about Roboto also. But I might put Roboto on the as assistant coach to Man at Arms. I'm gonna put Man at Arms as a head coach. Roboto be assistant coach because he can come up with analytics and things like that.
I like that. All
Evil
right.
Warriors, Skeletor's not gonna be playing. He's too lazy to play. He's gonna be coaching. So for his starting lineup, you got Spikor at center because someone's gonna drive to the paint. You're gonna have to be willing to take a big hit from Spikor on his spiked armor. You know, I'd have Clawful at the power forward, Jitsu at small forward. Triclops is shooting guard with his three eyes, and then Webstor is my point guard. And then to round out the other two for the Horde, I've got Grizzlor as my center, Dial-A-Mug as my small forward, Leech is my power forward, Modulok is my shooting guard, and Mantana is my point guard. And then for the Snake Men, Tongue Lashers running the point as point guard, Rattler is the shooting guard. We've got Snake Face at small forward, Squeeze with his massive arms as my power forward, and Blast Attack running the paint because if you come through, he's going to blow up on your ass.
A good choice, but
So
no, I like
I thought that was a that was a, I was like, oh man, this is fantastic, man. It's like I had to sit down. Hell, I even wrote up like diagrams of like the paint and the key and everything. Of like, okay, I'm going to put He-Man here at you know at the four here, but some, you know, I just did the whole thing, you
Sandy, I
know.
guess so. You definitely put a lot of thought into that. No, but I like that. I like that question, Brad. Thank you. I was just put on the spot trying to think of something, so I try to come up with something real quick. That's hard to do. It's not easy, but all right.
Well,
Well,
that wasn't easy either. I was just like, I don't know, because I ran through a lot of characters too.
oh, I'm
The
sure. I'm
Heroic
sure.
Wars was harder to do than anybody else.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So, no, that was a great question. But okay, well, for some of the people in the chat room now, first, let's see. Eric Amen, I don't know if he will follow this up if he's still here, but he said, Joe, would you ask Tyler if he'd like to own an original copy of Ultimate Battleground? So I don't know if that's leading up to a good deal or something, but I'm sure he would, but I don't know what if there's the catch, but we'll see. We'll follow this up. But okay, Zen Brown said, can Beast Man control Grizzlor? I don't know. You know, I know, like you said, he's controlled other beasts before, and even the mind part, as it was stated right here by JSP, said that, you know, it could get Manny Faces Beast Mode. But
Yeah.
I don't like that thought sometimes because I like to think that, you know, maybe controls just some people that don't have a complete control of their
Well, yeah.
mind.
Plus, Grizzlor is an intelligent character. Like all these
Yeah.
characters, they have intelligence. Like I don't see Leech and the Snake Men You know, because they say Cobra Khan is master of snakes. Well, does that mean he have control over all the snake men? No, just over snakes in general, not snake men. And that's kind of how I look at Beastman. It's an interesting thought. But I don't want to make Beastman too powerful, that because if that were the case, he can control all the evil warriors aside from Skeletor, you know, all the snake men, you know, or Cobra Khan could take over all the snake men if that were the case. But I think over your standard animals and reptiles that Cobra Khan and Beastman could be in control over.
That's what I'd like to think of. I mean, because in some form, a lot of the evil warriors and other warriors, there's always some kind of hybrid between a humanoid and some kind of monster creature or something. So it's like, where do you draw the line then? Like, who couldn't he control?
Like, I guess Beastman controlling Bear Man from Pawns of the Game Master, like his trio of like humanoid, Insect Man, and Bear Man. You know, I could see getting away with that because he's just a flat out bear, you know.
Yeah. Unless, hey, I mean, since we never knew much about him, you never know. Maybe he could have been a super intelligent creature. But I see what you mean. But yeah. So all right. Well, thank you for that. Adam Gabbert is asking us, out of all the cartoons from every series of He-Man, She-Ra, New Adventures, if we have a favorite good guy and a favorite evil person. I mean, that's kind of like on the spot. Who did I really love seeing? Oh God, as for evil, well, hell, I don't know. It's hard to say who would be a favorite good. I loved what could have been for MYP Hordak, what could have been, but we never got to see. So I don't know. Thanks, Adam, for putting me on such a spot, because it's like that one. I'm trying to run 5 million cartoon episodes in my head of who's good. I can't answer that.
I look at it this way. Like, as a kid watching New Adventures, I got really excited seeing Karate because I wanted to know more about the character, and I wanted to see more of KO, and I didn't get to as a kid. So for that, She-Ra, Grizzlor. Grizzlor, I really lit up when I would see Grizzlor and Frosta, because I thought Frosta was such a beautiful woman. I was like, oh, man, it's Frosta. With the He-Man cartoon, it's probably Buzz Off and Webstore were two that I got really, really excited about seeing I'm looking at it from a kid's perspective.
Oh yeah, sure.
And then for MYP, I mean I get super stoked when the Horde showed up in general. And then as for Heroes, Moss Man.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you had some. For me, it's really that's hard for me, because just watching the cartoons, I'm just loving the episodes.
I mean, as of right now, like, my favorite interpretations, I mean, it's, you know, I'm probably going to have to say He-Man for Filmation, because He-Man had some really, really good moments, and, you know, and I always fight with He-Man.
Yeah, because he's the main good guy. Yeah.
If we had more time, I could get more specific as to, like, why.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can't really get specific, because I'd want to pick moments from this episode, that episode. It's like, damn, I would say,
like, Whiplash and Betrayal of Stratus, which I'm hoping to God I can get Joe to do a commentary on that someday. When you meet him in that episode, he's working with a demon named Krall, who looks like the devil, you know, and he's on his knees, you know, running the demon zone, and he's speaking to this fire, and Krall's face appears in the fire. I mean, and he just sounds so sinister. I mean, just more sinister than he would ever sound throughout the rest of the series. I absolutely love that moment for Whiplash.
Definitely we could do a commentary. Yeah, it's like, for me, it seems like sometimes it's easier because when somebody's like, hey, what's one of your favorite toys or something, like, it's like almost easier for like action figure form, because I remember a lot of the characters that I would play with to death. So that almost seemed easier. But when it came to cartoon, it stumped me. So, well, at least, Adam, you got a great answer out of Tyler. As for me, you just had me stumped, because I've never really picked favorite characters in the cartoon. It's bizarre. Until he just brought that up, I've never really thought about favorite cartoon characters, because I just like the damn cartoons. But toys was different. But thank you for that. Okay, and Zentron said, in the She-Ra series, which character annoyed you the most? Also, can He-Man and She-Ra breathe in space? Well, hell yeah, they can breathe in space. We've seen that happen before. It's like,
well, I will say that they're not supposed to, because in my favorite episode, Talent for Trouble, He-Man makes a point to say, I've got to stop this rocket ship before it's reached the outer atmosphere, or I won't be able to breathe. So, yes.
Yeah. Didn't she do her sword to help?
Supposed to breathe in space. And I think She-Ra even comes up with like a space helmet, like short
space. She did. sword to helmet or whatever, but
Yeah,
yeah, but
so
then
yeah, what you see in the Christmas special, all bets are off. But yes, they are not too so strong that they can breathe in outer space. No.
unless you bring in Assault in the Hive where you had the meteorbs and they're out in space,
Yeah,
it's like,
that, they, yeah,
here
that's
we
kind of
go.
feel like all the roles are thrown out the window. But for me personally, I'd like to think that, if you make them too powerful, it's kind of hard to find, danger for these heroes for you to root for them to get out of it. So no, I don't see them as breathing in space.
All right, yeah, because that's always a funny one to bring up. But he also said, "Who annoyed you the most?" Well, that's the thing. It's like I don't know if I was ever. See, some people want to pick on Imp. Oh, damn, Imp was so annoying. I don't think I've ever seen characters that too much annoyed me compared to disappointed me. And I always say Catcher was my biggest disappointment because I hated how she turns into this awesome, intimidating looking Panther form. Only to never accomplish anything. Like maybe twice she jumped and pounced and held somebody, but otherwise they turned her into a joke of a character with that form, which really pissed me off because I wanted to see her accomplish something, especially when it's so dramatic. You're going through the whole effort of seeing her putting down the mask, like, oh shoot, and she turns into that Panther for nothing to happen. So I guess that annoyed me because of the disappointment, Zentron. So catch her for that reason.
I'd probably have to say Starchild or Sven from the Seahawk.
Oh, I'm
Seahawks.
sorry. Oh, yeah, because he wanted from the She-Ra series. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Sven.
Okay.
I just thought his voice was just irritating and just a goofy looking character. And I'm like, I know he's that like there trying to promote the Seahawk as a good guy, but I'm like, God, this character is just obnoxious to hear him talk.
All right. Okay, now we got one from JSP. This one, Okay, he says, "All right, guys, ultimate question. MYP He-Man versus Filmation He-Man. Who you got?" Well, here's the thing. They
Filmation.
portray, yeah, I was gonna say Filmation. They're portraying them both with this, as I always like to say, Superman powers of being so strong, but Filmation He-Man just seemed like he had the edge. So yeah, I was going Filmation, you said Filmation, so there you go. That went, I guess, pretty quick. Let me see if there was any others because I'm trying not to scroll with it, jumping too much. There, He-Man question mark. If Prince, okay, wait, Eric Amen said, wait, oh, he was making a reference to Zentron on that. Okay. Okay, well, I think we might have got all the questions right there. Okay, I'm just scrolling down a little bit more.
Okay.
Damn, there was so much stuff as I was talking. I apologize. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I'm having, sorry guys, but there's so many. I just see you guys were having conversations amongst yourselves. So, okay, there you go. So there, we got your questions. Thank you. And I'm glad to see you guys going back and forth there because they were starting to talk about some of the things we were talking about. So that was pretty cool to see. But okay, well, before we wrap it up, Tyler, you got any like closing thoughts, recommendations, anything you want to shoot to everybody?
Just remind everybody to get your PowerCon exclusives before they go out. Get your Stridor if you haven't picked them up. I got to do that this week. Get your copy of the Revenge of Skeletor and the Greatest Adventures of All. As for recommendations, don't really have any right off. But like what Brad sent us, I encourage our listeners to send us fun little debate ideas. Fun little, hey, pick your top three Evil Warriors, pick your most underappreciated heroic warriors. What I mean, it's always fun to do these little lists. So if listeners have ideas for the stuff, we encourage you to send it to us. Let us know something you want us to discuss. If you got a an episode you want us to discuss or whatever, that's my recommendation. I recommend fans give us ideas. We want your input. We like it. It's always fun. That's why we do these questions and things like that too. So yeah, I just recommend you guys check those out. And hey, if you like RoboCop 2, you can check out me and Joe Amato and our friend Nathan Kennedy discussing RoboCop 2. If you like the Spider-Man animated series of the 80s, we've done a commentary for Revenge of the Green Goblin. So I'm going to do shameless plugs and plug our other podcasts that we do also. If you enjoy us on your daily week or weekly dose of Fans of Power, we do two more podcasts as well. If you need more Tyler and Joe in your life.
There, yeah, plenty of them. We tried to get around. I didn't know if anybody there, if you guys were going to do one of your closing trivia questions for us as well, because I know that the past couple weeks you guys were doing that. If you did one earlier, I missed it, so you have to post it again down there. But No, it was great. Again, we appreciate every one of you joining us in the chat room. Hope you enjoyed it because, like I said, we love doing this. We, again, Tal and I will never always agree on every single thing that we pick, but like I said, that's what makes it fun. But let me just say what I always say. Go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to he-manworld.com. Jeez, my throat is just going. I haven't drank nothing, and you heard what happened
Hope
earlier.
you did get some water.
I did. I went and bought water. And go to he-manworld.com. And on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying over. I'm done. Until next time, have a powerful day.
Come on, Sal. Tigers are playing tonight. Never miss a game. Come on, Sal. Tigers are playing tonight. Never miss a game.
Yeah, and this should be something that's easy. I do not know. I'm waiting to see if somebody else gets this in the chat room. We'll give them a couple seconds while Zentron gave us a movie quote. Oh, wait a second. JSP said RoboCop.
There you go.
Was that what
Clarence.
Boniker said with the glass? Okay, right. Okay, and you delivered that pretty well. All right. Quick, Zentron said his movie quote. I fart in your general direction. What?
I don't know
That's
what
a
that is.
Ventron, that's the most obscure thing in the world. I don't know. Tyler doesn't know. Well, you're gonna have to put the answer down there. Like I said, it's a 30-second delay. We'll have to see, but I liked your Clarence moniker. I like when you did that. Yeah, because yeah, JSP said spoken by Red Foreman. Yeah, I
Yeah.
could see how he delivered it now, and that was perfect. But I'm just seeing, well, Zenron didn't give the answer. Or let me see. No idea. Everybody's saying no idea. Nobody knows what his trivia was. So I guess we'll be ending the air with not knowing it unless it just pops up in the chat room when we get off. But yeah, it was fun. So wait, he said it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Oh,
I
Zentron,
take
you're
great pride in knowing I have never seen the entire thing because I couldn't stand it the multiple times I was subjected to watch
and I was gonna hold my hand up.
Monty Python the Holy Grail.
Zentron, you're gonna hate me too.
Yeah.
I have not seen that in years. I might have seen that once when I was a kid, and that was it. So I didn't know. So I'm sorry I disappointed you. But
Yeah, I'm sorry too, but yeah, I was forced to watch that with my buddy Matt Hill multiple times. I'm like, it wasn't funny the first time, and it's not funny the fifth, eighth time either. So,
all
yeah,
right.
it's
Well, again,
not my cup of tea.
there you go. Well, again, thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, later.